We're on page 107 of In Heavenly Places. And the title is, We Expect Too Little. And if you actually have the booklet, it's on page 107, but it's for April 10th. That's easier to get there. You just flip through until you get to the date. And, okay, now here's a very sobering statement that Jesus, our Lord, King, and Savior, makes in Matthew 9:29. This is where a lot of people have a problem. He says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Yeah, that can be rough for all of us, myself included, because, I mean, that's why the father said, help me in my unbelief, when the dad came up and was asking for him to heal his son. But it goes on. Faith is the medium of connection between human weakness and divine power. We must seek to have our faith strengthened. The iniquity that abounds must not for one moment lessen our faith and love for God, or weaken our trust in his sure promises, else some mighty storm of temptation will sweep us away from the true foundation. Now think about that. Think about what she just said there. The iniquity that abounds must not for one moment, lessen your faith. Now, this is, of course, not talking about unrepentant iniquity. She's talking about all the sin all around us, like Lot standing in the middle of Sodom, or us after we've repented of something we did wrong. Because this is where the devil likes to play his little games. He'll tempt you to do something. And temptation, by the way, is not sin. It is not sin. Temptation is not sin. He can whisper in your ear all day long if he wants. And even if you dwell on it for a moment and start daydreaming, let's say you have a problem with lustful thoughts, okay? Let's say he talks you into thinking about it, and you just all of a sudden you just daze out at a street light or something, or in class at school, or you know, at home, whatever. You just and all of a sudden after about 30 seconds you realize, hey, what am I doing? You know, and you shake it off. You didn't commit a sin, because at the very split second you realize that you are drifting, you can't be held accountable for that. It's kind of like having a dream when you're sleeping. You can have the most disgusting dreams when you're sleeping, and I don't see how you can be held accountable for that, because it's your thoughts. The devil can run rampant with that stuff too. But yeah, I still like to apologize, you know, to the Father and ask for forgiveness anyway, just because he knows my heart and he knows I really don't like that stuff. But yeah, just shaking that stuff off, there's no sin then. And then when you confess and repent, it's gone. And so even though iniquity abounds all around you, and like Paul says that, you know, a wretched man that I am, because he's strong in the spirit, weak in the flesh, none of that, not for one moment, any of that should lessen our faith. And some of us know exactly what that means, you know, because some of us have been tested at the very last second, let's say. A very scary situation happens right in front of you, because I've had this happen a couple times in life, where you have no choice but to do the right thing, and doing the right thing could be dangerous. It could literally, you know, I remember one time, you know, I could have been pushing up daisies, but you know you got to do it, and so you go forth in faith, just knowing. And yes, I was a Christian at the time, very green, but still. And the way the Lord took that whole situation and turned it around so quickly right in front of my eyes, it was like, oh, okay. That was pretty obvious. And so don't let what's going on around you, especially if you've repented and all that other stuff, affect your faith in any way, shape, or form. That's what the devil's going for. This is why all the wind was bustling that night, and the waves were rocking, and the clouds were rolling in, and the lightning was striking when Peter was sinking in the water. He took his eyes off Christ. So she goes on. We have a great work to do, and we need greater faith. Through communion with God, our faith will be strengthened, and the trial of our faith may prove our signal triumph. And she's not saying here, through communion with God, like, you know, once or twice a week, open a Bible, you know, our spiritual life is just going to church on Sabbath. We only pray when it's scary. No, communion with God is a daily walk. It's, you know, it'd be nice to do, you know, because I'm thinking about, you know, I'm actually going to do a study on the, you know, like Abraham, because he was called the friend of God. I want to know what it's like to be able to become his friend like that. Or even, you know, like David, to be a man after God's own heart. You know, you get to that kind of a walk, if you will. So she goes on. There is real work to be wrought in us. Constantly we must submit our will to God's will, our ways to God's way. By beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are actually changed into the same image, from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord, we expect... even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, that's where it ends. All right. And then she says, we expect too little, and we receive according to our faith. And that reminds me when I was a young Christian. Because, I mean, y'all have heard me say this before. I'm a young Christian. I'm telling the Lord after he tells me what he wants me to do. And, you know, I didn't have many opportunities to do what he was asking. So the thought came to mind to just start writing tracts, of course. But my main thing was to offer my services to men of God that he would direct me towards. And he did. You know, there were some things I was able to do for these preachers that I knew. Because they didn't have any clue. And these are the green screen. Well, just after the green screen days. And what I mean by green screen days, for those of you that mess with computers, you know what I mean. It's when the computers were a whopping 5 megahertz. Well, 3.5 megahertz. And then the new one came out. 5 megahertz. Whoa, blazingly fast. And it was. You actually had to buy software that would slow the system down so that you could play the video games, because they weren't designed for the same megahertz. But so way back then, I was doing work on computers for... Well, just after the green screen, you know, like Windows 3.1 or 3.0, 3.0. And, but the whole time that I was always in prayer, you know, asking him for this or asking him for that, I never really asked for any of the big stuff. And, the main reason being, of course, is I didn't expect it. I looked at these men of God that I was helping as being far more worthy for these blessings that I was praying for than I was. I was expecting too little. And it was also because of my lack of faith. Even though he was showing me his hand left and right. And I was just in prayer yesterday because, oh man, the weather the last few days has been amazing. So my midday prayer was really long for the last few days. Just two or three times I'd go out and just talk to him because it was just so nice outside. And, but, you know, just looking back over the years and all the things that he has showed me and all these times his hand moves, it's just over. And all of you can do this. Every single solitary one of us can do this. We can look back. And this is why I like to make the praise lists. I used to do them like a diary. Now I do them digitally, you know, because you're going to get your dry times. And it's nice to go in there and read and see what he's done, because it's just amazing how much he'll show his hand to you. And how much you're going to forget that. Because I like the look in my praise lists 3 or 4 years ago. Or even 1 or 2 years ago. Says, wow, I forgot all about that. Thank you again, Lord. Stuff like that, you know. Otherwise, your faith, you know. And no, that's not going to really help your faith any. It's just kind of like, it's like a gentle hug that you actually reach out to him for. but the only way you're going to increase your, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We know what the Bible says. But the other toss of the coin is, if you expect too little, you're going to get little. You know, she says, we are not to cling to our own ways, our own plans, our own ideas. Besetting sins are to be conquered and evil habits overcome. Wrong dispositions and feelings are to be rooted out, and holy tempers and emotions begotten in us by the Spirit of God. And that one there, you know, the holy temper thing, that took me quite a few years. Yeah, because that, I believe that's one of those strong demons, I guess. That and pornography, I never really had an issue with that. And then alcohol, and of course cigarettes. Gluttony, let's say. I never had an issue with that, but I know people that have fought it. And it's like a drug, especially in today's world, because you're literally eating drugs. The MSG they put in food nowadays is designed to make cardboard addicting in flavor. I mean, literally, some of the stuff that the people eat, without that MSG, it would just, it's like awful food. But they kick it up a notch because they put the MSG in there. That's monosodium glutamate, for those of you that don't know. And it's an excitotoxin. In other words, it goes right to the brain, I think the frontal lobe area, and it makes you think the food you're eating actually tastes better than it actually does. And this is one of the reasons for most Americans have weight issues. You know, because that stuff's legal to put into the food. But not all food has it. This is why if you see me in a grocery store and I'm looking for something, I'm reading labels all the time. I'm always reading, you know, high fructose corn syrup, steer clear of that. It's got mercury in it. Yeah, well, you know, it's poison. And then, of course, MSG and vinegar. There's all sorts of stuff in there. So, yeah, amen. Read your labels. And then pray without... Yeah, that's another thing, too. Yeah. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And then, of course, prayer. That's going to bolster your faith. So she goes, faith, living faith, we must have a faith that works by love and purifies the soul. We must learn to take everything to the Lord with simplicity and earnest faith. Everything. I mean, this is one of the ways that I believe that Abraham was able to get to that plateau where he was called a friend of God. Nothing was too trivial to bring up with the Father. And that's the way I like to do it. I mean, keep him in your day. Who cares if all of a sudden somebody walks up and says, man, you talking to yourself? No. I didn't know you were here. I was praying. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And if you're driving, now it's much easier, especially if you're in your car. Driving down the road, just talking to them left and right. People, years ago when I used to do that, people look at him, he's talking to himself in the car. Because we didn't have speakerphones back then. So there were times people would see me talking to myself in my car. Well, so they thought I was talking to myself. I was just praying. So she says, the greatest burden we have to bear in this life is self. We are our worst enemies. Amen to that. How about it? All of us. We know exactly how... Why did I do that? How many times have all of us said that to ourselves? You know, you have that V8 moment, you know, slap your forehead and go, why did I do that? And you know why you did it. It's more or less like saying, why was I so weak? Why did I let him trick me? And boy, I tell you, sometimes that the enemy will, he'll catch you so off guard. Oh, man, it's just like, yeah, take heed lest ye fall. And, I mean, it's bad enough he can get at you when you're in a safe zone. But boy, you turn on the TV or you walk into a bar or you go to an area where you know there's going to be problems, you know, hey man, you're asking for trouble. You may as well just walk in alone because that's what you're doing. All those good angels that you've been praying for, that hedge of angels that are all around you at all times, they're going to back off the minute you walk into areas you know you shouldn't be, whether it's on a TV or on a road. Because, the Lord knows your heart. He knows why you're going there. You can't fool him. He knows your heart. And that's one of the beauties of it, too. He knows your heart. He knows you're really, really contrite in certain situations, or all of them, when you mess up. So she says, unless we learn in the school of Christ to be meek and lowly, we shall miss precious opportunities and privileges for becoming acquainted with Jesus. Self is the most difficult thing we have to manage. In laying off burdens, Let us not forget to lay self at the feet of Christ. Hand yourself over to Jesus to be molded and fashioned by him, that you may be made vessels unto honor. Your temptations, your ideas, your feelings must all be laid at the foot of the cross. Then the soul is ready to listen to words of divine instruction. Jesus will, and by the way, that's one of the reasons babes in Christ have a little bit of difficulty understanding the scriptures right off the bat, is because there's certain chunks of dross that haven't been burned off or kicked off as of yet. You know, the Lord knows you're trying your best, of course, but he also knows at the same time that you know what you're doing is wrong, and you are eventually, because he's revealed it. He's revealed it to you. He's told you it's wrong, and he knows your heart, and so he knows you know it's wrong. Because you already know that you said to yourself it's wrong, and he heard you. And so the minute you start showing obedience and you're trying to get, even if it's just baby steps, you don't have to do major leaps and stuff like that, although it's nice when you can, because there are times you will. But those baby steps, they count, because you are moving forward. Every single day you should get a little bit better. You're walking Christ, even if it's just a baby step. That's the easiest way to do it. I mean, you got a lifetime. Your lifetime should be constantly upward on that ladder, you know. So she finishes by saying, Jesus will give you to drink of the water which flows from the river of God. Under the softening and subduing influence of his Holy Spirit, his Spirit, your coldness and listlessness will disappear. Christ will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And I remember, you know, like with the listlessness stuff, you know, like or lazy or lethargic ways of doing it. I mean, you could ask my wife, the first 8 years of our marriage, it was all I could do to get off the couch and just grow hair in front of a TV set. I mean, that was my thing, you know, just sit around and exist, breathe in, breathe out. Whew, boy, that was busy. And when I found Christ, it was like there wasn't enough hours in the day to do work for him. It's been like that 30 years. It's like, I praise his name for that. You know, because I know idle hands are the devil's workshop. I remember when I was a teenager. A lot of times we were bored out of our gourd. Yeah, we played frisbee all day. We did this, we did that. We went around and cruised around or did or whatever we did. And what else can we do? Hey, let's get in some trouble. And we would do some stupid stuff. Yeah, and end up behind bars a lot of times too. You know, but live and learn. And I praise God for those experiences too, because I can relate with some of the stuff that some of you have gone through. So, hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.